Hello, Through the Word. We are back in Luke's Gospel today at chapter 5. Jesus has been preaching and healing and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Now, for the first time, we see Jesus call his disciples. For us, we will find the very simple heart of what it means to be a Christian. Let's dive in at verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. I can't help but marvel at the dynamics of divine timing. Did it just happen to be Simon who parked his boat at the right place at the right time? I wonder if Simon has any sense of destiny at this point. Or maybe he's too busy listening to Jesus teach. He's got a front row seat. Simon will be Peter, by the way, but he doesn't know that yet. Sometimes God's plan for you starts with one little coincidence. Or is it? Verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Remember that Simon is a fisherman by trade. This is what he does. He didn't catch anything all night, but he's clearly intrigued by this traveling teacher. And so he decides to take Jesus at his word and give it a shot. That may be small, but it will be the first step on a great journey. In verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. The catch is so big, it nearly sinks two boats. It's a big day for men who fish for a living. Everyone is ecstatic. But then, for Simon, the penny drops. And not just a penny. Have you ever had a moment in time when everything slows down and reality drops? Simon is looking at two boats full of fish, but this isn't about the fish. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Wow. Simon gets a tiny glimpse of who Jesus is, and it overwhelms him. But it's not just everything that Jesus is. It's what Simon is not. He's not good, and he knows it. Pay attention here. For anyone who has ever felt not good enough or too dirty and broken for God to use, this story hits home. Simon's fishing partners, James and John, are also astonished. And in verse 10, then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now consider that for these fishermen, this was a very successful workday. Two boatloads of fish. But again, it's not about the fish. And they leave it all to follow Jesus. And this gets to the heart of what it means to be a Christian, even today. It's about seeking the giver instead of the gifts. Jesus called disciples with two simple words, "Follow me." But for these men, following Jesus meant leaving everything else. That leaving behind looks different for every disciple, but it's there for each of us. Imagine if they tried to do both. Follow Jesus and drag around two boatloads of old fish. They'd be slow and stinky. And for Simon Peter, Jesus knows exactly how sinful he is, and he still calls him. Turns out, following Jesus isn't about your past. It's about your future, and about taking the first step toward that future right now. Moving on to verse 17, we find one of my favorite miracle stories. Jesus is preaching in an overcrowded house, and some men hear about it. Men with a good friend who can't walk. Paralytic. Verse 18. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Notice that Jesus saw their faith. How did he see it? It wasn't an aura or glow, it was their deeds. And the words he says are striking. Friend, your sins are forgiven. It's quite a statement. Forgiving sins is no small thing. We might forget that as we hear it so often in church, but the Pharisees don't miss it. Verse 21. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They call it blasphemy because only God can forgive sins, and Jesus is suddenly forgiving them. He's claiming God's authority for himself. And they're right to question, "Who does this rabbi think he is?" Verse 22. Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" Which is easier, to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk"? Ooh, now that's a great question. Which one is easier? Of course, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because no one can see if it actually worked. But truly forgiving sins is so much harder to do. Now, it's harder to say, "Get up and walk," because then everything's on the line. If the guy doesn't get up and walk, they know you're a fake. All of that is spinning through their minds as Jesus goes on. "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Pause there. Jesus wants them to know, and he wants us to know, to be convinced that he has authority to forgive sins here on earth. And to prove that authority, he puts it all on the line. "Get up." And the lame man got up, took his mat, and went home praising God. Moving on, Jesus calls an awful sinner to be a disciple. Now, don't miss how striking this is. The man's name is Levi, and he's a tax collector. He's the worst sort of traitor to the Jews, taking money from his own people and giving it to the enemy, the Romans. Even worse, stealing for himself in the process. At verse 27, "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him." There's those two words again, "follow me," the very essence of what it is to be a Christian. And those other two words, "left everything." This man Levi will later become Matthew and will write the Gospel of Matthew. Levi here is filthy rich in the truest sense. His money is dirty. But he leaves everything right there at his tax booth to follow Jesus. And he's so excited about following Jesus that he throws a party. And who does he invite? His friends, of course. And who is friends with a filthy traitor? But more dirty sinners, of course. Now, you have to picture this scene. And picture it how the religious Jews see it all. Jesus, the good rabbi, and his disciples, who thus far are not the most respectable lot, all go to a big party with a whole house full of sinners. This does not sit right with the Pharisees. They confront Jesus. "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Sometimes it's hard to fathom God's love for sinners. 2,000 years later, we still have trouble grappling with this reality, that God loves the bad guys too. That Jesus would go to a party with those people after all they've done. The tax collectors here are not just well-meaning sinners. They're greedy corporate thieves. The Romans were oppressors, and the tax collectors are opportunists, making it all worse. What they do is sick. So in verse 31, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Catch that word, repentance. That's the key. Jesus did not come just to party with sinners or prove that God isn't a cosmic killjoy. He came to save them and heal them. Read Luke chapter 5 today. Remember God's love for sinners, his authority to proclaim your sins forgiven, and hear those two little words from Jesus that change everything. Follow me.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.